This morning I came in and they had the friendship, and my grandson came up to me and he says, "Oh, are you coming back to church now, Grandma?" The scripture I'm going to read today is, we have choices to make, and do we need to make the right choice? And in this reading, Mary made the right choice. And my grandson was right. Was I making right choices? So, Sean, yeah, Grandma's coming back. Okay? The scripture reading today is Luke 10:38-42. "Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home." And we all know we're talking about Jesus. "She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by many tasks. So she came to him and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, are you worried and distracted by many things? There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her.'" And thank you, Sean. So is the reading of the word.
Thank you very much, Sean. Thank you, Penny, for reading. You know, we always like fairy tales. So I've got one this morning for you. Many years ago, there lived a king who had a very beautiful daughter. This princess had many offers of marriage, but she just could not make up her mind which suitor she should take as her husband. She was a very romantic girl, and she wanted a man who would love her more than anything else, all the treasures, even his own self, to care so much for her. And finally, she came up with this plan and devised it in her mind to test the love of the suitors. An announcement was made and sent throughout the kingdom that there would be a foot race. The winner of the race would be able to marry the princess. The race was open to every man in the kingdom, rich and poor alike. It didn't matter. All that was required was that the man would love the princess more than anything else in this world. On the chosen day, the men lined up to run this race. And each man was told that the princess waited at the finish line, and whoever crossed the finish line first would be her husband. Just as the race was about to begin, the king made an announcement. He says, "I have had my servants put treasures out along the racetrack. There's gold and silver. There's all kind of different objects, all kind of different treasures, necklaces and pendants and jewel-encrusted cups and gold knives and swords." So each runner was welcome to take as many items as they wanted to. So the race began. One by one, the racers, paupers, and princes alike started down that track, but they would see the treasures on each side of the track and they would begin to pick them up. And then they would drop out of the race. All except one. He pressed on in the race, knowing that he didn't care about these treasures that might would make him a rich man. He cared about one thing. He kept his eye on the prize. He loved the princess and wanted to win the race so he could marry the princess. Jesus was visiting the home of two sisters. Martha hurried about and doing all the household preparations necessary to make guests feel welcome. And that's not a bad thing to do. We all want to clean up our house and have the proper foods when someone is coming over. At the same time, though, Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. And Martha finally, you know how two sisters can be sometimes, got fed up. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Do you tell her to come help me now?" Those of you who are committed homemakers can appreciate her irritation. Surely the master would take Martha's side and have Mary get up and help her prepare the meal and get everything just right. And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Mary had only done one thing. She sat at the feet of Jesus, but the one thing was enough to draw Jesus' praise towards her. It's a priceless story, I think, with a very important message. You can't work your way into the kingdom of God. You can only receive it, and we have to get our priorities right. We let side things take our time away when our first devotion, our first love, should be our God. Reverend John Gable tells about Al and Betty Johnson, who live on a farm about 200 miles northeast of Rapid City, South Dakota. Now, this is a small city. There's not a whole lot going on, and there's not like a Walmart or a Kmart on every corner, or even a grocery store. So whenever the Johnsons have reason to go in the city, they keep a list, and when they go in the city, they will take that list and get the provisions that they need. Now, Betty's mother was flying in one day for a visit, and Al made a list and got the list and of all the things that he and the household needed. And he would do this on the way to the airport to pick up his mother-in-law. When he finally got home late that evening, he was so pleased to tell his wife, Betty, about all the wonderful things that he had done. He'd gotten new tires put on the truck and found everything that she wanted at the mall. He had even purchased her a new dress and could not wait to show her this beautiful dress. He was so proud of himself. And finally, Betty interrupted her husband, Al, and said, "Al, where's Mom?" Never went to the airport to get her. The one thing that was really needed. He got sidetracked with everything else. He had forgotten the only real purpose he had for going into town in the first place. Not that the things he did were bad. Purchasing things that they needed. But he didn't pick up the mother-in-law. Martha was hurrying about doing things to prepare that were so important to everyone that's having guests in their homes. And we know that Jesus appreciated her efforts, what she was doing. And Mary and Martha became two of Jesus' closest friends. And it was a kindness that Jesus gently scolded Martha. I suspect he did it with a smile on his face and a loving rebuke. Not that he didn't appreciate, because I think he did appreciate what she was doing. But he said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but there's only one thing that is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better." I wonder which bothered Martha more, to hear Jesus scold her or to hear him praise her sister Mary. Only one thing is needed, and that is what Jesus said to Martha. Only one thing. A young man comes out of seminary, was called a first pastor in a small farming town. Having to preach every Sunday was quite a challenge for him, and he was more accustomed to the world of academia, to study and to hear the professors lecture, not the world of a small country church. Each Sunday he preached sermons that were little more than lengthy quotations taken directly from his seminary classroom notes, dry academic stuff. The congregation used to having ministers fresh out of seminary, so they were not surprised by this. I think they probably took a good feeling about themselves to help train ministers. In fact, over the years, they had become quite patient and become quite tolerant. They understood themselves as a congregation gifted with the task of training young ministers in the reality of the church. And I know the first church I pastored as a student up in Grayville, Illinois, driving that 300-mile round trip, that's what they did. They hired students from the seminary to help train them. Months went by at this congregation waiting for a young man to work his way into the role of a pastor and teacher. Then one Sunday, the elder who prepared the sanctuary for the service left a note on the pulpit, which sometimes happens for me. On a small piece of paper, he wrote a Bible reference, John 12:21. Well, the young minister arrived not long afterward and went to the sanctuary to prepare and for the service. He saw the note on the pulpit, which just read John 12:21. There was no anything else. Very curious thing, he thought, to find in the pulpit. He thought, so he quickly thumbed through his Bible, looked up the passage, and the passage said, "We wish to see Jesus." Christ is the only thing that we really need. Mary understood that. Christianity is not about doing good, though that is a major witness of our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, because he did good and he told us to do good things and to love one another. And Christianity is not about looking at the commandments, okay, I've got this one checked, this one checked, this one checked, even though the best Christians are doing their best to keep the commandments, especially the one about love. Christianity is at heart and soul the recognition that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all life, of all life. He is our Master and Savior. And the Bible asks, or we ask, what do we need to be saved? And the answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Colossians 1, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn above all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by him and for him. Several years ago, Dr. John Claypool, a famous preacher, preached a series of sermons related to the illness and the death of his young daughter. In one of the sermons, he tells of receiving a Christmas book by J.B. Phillips called When God Was a Man. The book was written in the 1950s. John Claypool was reading the book and happened to leave it open on his desk beside his chair where he liked to read. And he and his wife went out for the evening, and a lady in the community came by to babysit while they went out. Well, when he came home that night, Claypool said that he could tell as soon as he entered the house that the babysitter was just very excited. She picked up this book and began to wave it around and asked, "Is this true? When did this happen? What was he like?" Claypool said that he was taken aback because he knew this person. This was a member of his church. She even sang in the choir. He was surprised that a title, When God Was Man, could have come as such an absolute shock to her. But as they began to talk, he discovered that of all the times that she's been attending church all these years and all of her church activity, somehow that message had gone past her. And she never really thought about it, that God came into our world as a human being. The one who had always inhabited the heavens chose to come and live as a human being upon this earth. That's such a wonderful thing. And as they talked about this event, she asked all kinds of questions as to what it meant. And they talked late into the night, and the lady just stayed so excited, coming to grips with the awesome reality that God had become a human being and come into this world as he gave his life. And I ask you this morning, I ask all of us, have we really come to grips with that? Do we really understand that God came into our lives in the form of a human being and walked this earth just as we walk this earth, with the same things that confront us confronted the Lord Jesus? I know that you are responsible, hard-working people, law-abiding people, and I'm thankful for you. But I ask you this morning, do you still have an emptiness within you that has not been filled, even coming to church? Do you sometimes feel that you've lived your life in vain? And do you hunger for something more in this lifetime? Maybe it has something to do with your understanding of Christ. Many people, even those who go to church, will say, well, I believe Jesus was a good man. He was a prophet. He gave us many wonderful things to do. But God, I don't know that I can agree with that. And they're church people, but they've never got it. Jesus is the very source of our lives. He is the promise of the new life in the Spirit. So have you found that one thing that is needed? That one thing that will transform you and give you a peace that passes all understanding, that you can feel good about your relationship with God, that you can believe deep down in your heart that you have the promise of eternal life, and that when you die, you will go to be with God? I hope that you do. So take a cue from Mary. Even though the things that Martha was doing were wonderful and needed to be done, but first things first. One thing is needed: to believe in Jesus, to sit at his feet, and let him teach you and love you and caress you. Sit at the feet of Jesus. May God bless you. Amen.